Well, hey there, this is Jim, and I was just thinking. Once again, you find me scaling the big hill as we go up, up, up to the summit, where this walk will turn into the beginning of a run. And as we've done in the past, we're actually including the walk segment in the total time taken, because yours truly is now focused on heart rate. So what my heart does walking up this hill matters. That's data that I care about. Even though it's going to artificially slow my overall pace, since 0.4 miles will end up being at a walk, I don't care about pace. I'm here for the heart rate goals. So I am free to walk up and down this hill. And not worry about anything except the fact that my heart rate is doing what it's supposed to be doing. I honestly wish I had done this so much sooner. But, you know, I got here, right? That's what matters. So, as we continue to scale the 0.2 miles up the hill, we're at what right now? 0.19 kilometers is where we're at. I'm not mistaken. No, that's right. This watch is still set on miles. I have to update this watch to kilometers. Had a good friend of mine in the Book of Faces ask me why are you measuring everything in the metric system? And I know I have gone over this a few times in recent podcasts, but in case I glossed over it, didn't put it right out there in front for you to go ahead and take notice of. And since I have about 35 minutes left to go, we'll just say it again. So there are two reasons why I'm tracking everything via the metric system. The first reason, and honestly, this is the reason. Everything else is kind of like a bonus, but the reason is the race that I'm training for, the Savannah Bridge Run, is in metric. It is a 15K. And so, if I want to know how fast I am during training, makes it a lot more realistic to train in metric, and I could find out what my pace is per kilometer, and then just multiply by 15, right? Could I do it in miles and multiply by 9.3? Sure. Could I multiply by 9.3 in my head? No. No, I could not. Can I multiply by 15 in my head? Yes. And why? Because 15 is just 3 multiples of 5. So really all I have to do is multiply my pace per kilometer by 5, multiply that by 3, and that is the same as multiplying it by 15. So, right? So if I'm able to hold a pace of 5 minutes per kilometer, well, 5 times 5 is 25. So that's a 25-minute 5K. 25 times 3 is 75. That's a 75-minute 15K. And it's just that easy. Right? Right? Now, if I wanted to do, you know, could I do 8-minute miles by 9.3? You get the idea, right? Not the same math, even though the sum, the outcome, will be the same. So, that's reason numero uno. For those of you who parle français. Numero deux is because learning new things creates neural pathways in your brain. It exercises your brain. It makes you, and I know this is not a popular thing in today's society, at least as evidenced by social media, but it makes you smarter. Yeah. You actually step out of your comfort zone and you learn something new, as opposed to hermetically sealing yourself in your own ideological lack of intelligence bubble. So, and I'm all for being smarter, right? I mean, I've got smart ass down pretty well. So, why not just work on smart, right? So, of course, a third reason is that we should have been doing the metric system for a long time here in the United States. We were supposed to flip over in 1980. That's what our then President Carter had in mind. And I remember back in 1976, 77, in fourth and fifth grade, having to watch a half-hour television show was made for kids called The Metric System. And it was very much like The Electric Company, if you know the PBS special from the 70s. That kind of format. And they did funny skits and so forth. But the idea was to teach Americans to speak metric. Why? Because the rest of the bloody world speaks it. So, including our neighbors to the north in old Canada and our neighbors to the south in Mexico. So, it would certainly benefit commerce, right? If you travel north or you travel south from the United States, you're not lost. You speak metric, so you understand that when information is 7 kilometers away, that means something to you, right? Or if you're looking at a thermometer outside a bank in Montreal and it tells you it's 11 degrees, right? You understand what type of jacket you need to put on. And it's not the same jacket you would wear in the US if it were 11 degrees. So, just prepares you for travel. What's wrong with that? But, and this is where we'll stop the discussion of politics. When our government has a crap idea, they double and triple down on it. When they have a good idea, they get cold feet and they tend to bail. Here's a great example. I mean, think about it. At this point, every millennial, every Gen Z would natively speak in metric. They can go anywhere. All of this unit of measure in Europe, in South America, in Africa, Asia, they would understand it, even if they didn't understand the language. But no, no, we need to hold on to a system that pretty much nobody uses. And how does that benefit us? It doesn't, right? Because you go to the Olympics, it's in metric, right? You get medicine, it's in metric. Look at your food, it's in metric, all right? It was coming. Either way. And now we're just an entire country that doesn't really understand our drug labels, our food labels, or signs outside of our own country. Not the greatest move. So, there's reason numero trois. So, anywho, that is why metric. So, anyway. So today is another 3-miler, and get the cymbals out, right? Sound the horn. Get the timpani going. Today is Tuesday, and I'm actually running on Tuesday. Yeah. Of course, my plan was to run Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Things have always shown up to make running on Tuesday a non sequitur, to use a little bit of Latin lingo, right? Not gonna happen. So, but today is different. I'm out, it's sunny, actually cloudless skies, probably about 65 degrees. Gorgeous. next several days, I'm going to be in the 70s. So, huzzah. Huzzah. So, we'll take a little walk break at the turnaround, like we always do. But right now, we are at... Maybe I am at Metric. Yeah, I am at Metric. I'm at 6:59 for my minutes per kilometer. So, that's loosely 10.5 minute miles. So, here we are. We're gonna hush up in a bit, about 100 meters ahead of me, with somebody out for a stroll. So, I think what I'll do is I will mute this until we're on the way back, and not going to be spotted as a person having an internal dialogue externally. See you in a bit. All right, we're at the turnaround, and at the turnaround, I was clipping along at 6.36 minutes per kilometer. So, there you go. And my my one neighbor lives on a different street, but such a small area referred to as a neighbor, who I've known for quite a while here, is lives on the Ridge Road with her dog named Dixie. Start running again. Has now turned around at the top of the hill, started walking back, so my plan to turn around, run back the way I came, and pass her still headed up to where I was at the turnaround is kaput. Alright, might as well have as many languages in this podcast as possible, right? So you got English, you got French, and now you got German. So, here you go. Das ist gut, ja? Yeah. So, we'll end up having to zip it as we pass her on the way back. So, oh well. Tis what it is. So, anyway. But, well, my training happens. This will be the first week, 5 running days per week. That was my goal. So, speaking of goals, I have more time for these runs for the next 7 days. As yours truly is on vacation. So, very much looking forward to turning the alarm on my phone off so it does not go off at 5 a.m. the remainder of this week, Monday and Tuesday of next week. So yours truly is now on vacation for the remainder of October 2023. So, huzzah! I've got lovely weather for most of it, so I should be able to tackle and complete a number of the 15 chores that I want to get done now that I have the weather and the time to do them. So, all right. Give my compadre, Mr. McCann, a text message, see how he's doing. He's on a 10-day vacation that started last week, so I believe we are both off the entirety of the rest of this week. So, throwing out possibility that we could go for a run either tomorrow, Wednesday, or Thursday, since we can both run during the day, right? Being big vacationers that we are. Of course, we may hold off until Saturday or Sunday, but we'll see. I know last week he was under the weather, so hopefully he is feeling better, even though we don't say above the weather, right? Kind of interesting, you know? Under the weather, we get that, right? Colloquial way of saying sick. But when you're well, we do not say, man, I am above the weather. We just don't do it. Yep. We don't do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Not at this juncture. So, interesting, huh? It's like being disgruntled, right? Which is a way of saying upset. But if you're feeling fantastic, we don't refer to ourselves as gruntled, right? And yet, disgruntled means not gruntled. But gruntled means nothing. So, if we were to actually use our English language properly, disgruntled should really mean not nothing. Which would mean something. There we are. Alright. Another 100 meters behind my neighbor. So, I'll mute until we're past her again. Alright. We have passed the neighbor. I've got a waxing moon off to my right, which is southeast as I'm currently oriented. And for those of you playing in Solve, a waxing moon is a moon that is slowly getting more and more full. When we start to lose the shape of the moon, it is a waning moon. So, I think we have a full moon this Saturday. So, all right. That's it for the Ridge Road. Hard left onto Breakfast Meat Boulevard again. All right. So, anyway, I got a vacation, but this is going to be a staycation, workcation. as long as the weather allows for it. So, I'm going to get my lawn mowed tomorrow. We're in the part of the year where I can let it go every other week. Tomorrow, I'll mow it in the first full week of November, and depending upon what weather we get, that might be it for me. If not, I'll mow it in the week of Thanksgiving, but if I have to mow it that late, that will definitely be the last time it gets mowed until April, most likely early April of 2024, which means once that last pass over the lawn is done, we come into the garage and we drop the mowing deck and we put that in the back of the garage for the next several months. And then the tractor just has the loader, the bucket in the front, which is currently unattached, but that's going on tomorrow after I mow the lawn, as I think either Thursday or Friday, more likely Friday, I'm going to go out and push back the compost pile. So, I could do it by hand, but that would be foolish when I have a machine that can lift 600 pounds at a time as if it were nothing. So, that's what we will do. So, and just basically just scooping it up and redumping it further up the slope where it will sit until the spring. And in the spring, it will be mulch that at least one of my neighbors will come and steal. Not really stealing. He has free rein to come whenever he'd like. If he's doing us a favor, take as much of it as he wants for his vegetable garden. Actually, we have two neighbors that do that. So it's just take as much as you want, because we have animals that keep making more, so you can never take too much. So we'll do that. And then I'll leave the bucket on until I need to mow the lawn again, just in case we need to use the bucket in the meantime. Not particularly hard to put it on and off, but it is a small bit of a pain. It is, shall we say, a tad fiddly. So, much better at it now than when we bought the tractor back in 2020, but it still requires a bit of a finesse to get the bolts or the stays that keep the loader attached to the tractor. It never wants to go on completely easily. It's always, you know, have two big, large, round guides where these giant metal bolts basically go through. At the end of the metal bolt is a place for an industrial size cotter pin that keeps that bolt from sliding back out. So, and there's always one side that lines up super easy, and the other side that you have to finesse a little bit. And sometimes stick the bolt in and grab the mini sledge and give it a whack so that goes through. So, so there you are. I didn't think you were getting a discussion about small garden tractors, did you? Well, surprise. Surprise, surprise. Speaking of international, we're going to pass two kids in their lawn playing soccer. Or as the rest of the world refers to it, football. We've had this discussion before, but although you may hear folks saying soccer is just that silly American term for what the rest of the world calls football, that is in fact not correct. Soccer was founded by the British. So, when the sport of football was first created in merry old England, as we come to our top of the hill, we're going to walk in 3, 2, 1. Shortly after the game was created, there started to be bickering and arguing about what the rules should be. One group said that football should be played with a round ball that you only use your foot to manipulate. All right? You can use your head, you can use your chest, but you can never use your hands unless you're throwing the ball into play. Or you're the goalie trying to stop the ball from going into the goal. And then there was another group that said, no, 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 no. The ball should be oblong. And yeah, you can kick it. You can bounce it on the ground and dribble it. But you should be able to essentially underhand pass the ball backwards to a fellow teammate. Right? Well, since they're different rules, they develop different names. And the sport with the round ball was called association football, and the sport with the oblong ball was called rugby football. Well, it didn't take long for people to go, why call it rugby football when we can just call it rugby, right? And so now you have rugby, which is actually closer to what we play here in the States. American rules football is actually much more closely related to rugby than it is what we refer to as soccer. But where'd soccer come from? Well, of course, the British. They're not going to say association football. That's a mouthful. Why would you say that? They have a knack of shortening words. And if you're familiar with Cockney rhyming, they kind of like to have things end in a vowel, right? So, association, all right, became Asako. And then Asako became soccer. So, you have anyone say soccer is just that stupid name you Americans call football? It was named by the British. And when it traveled over to the United States, the name of the sport was soccer. And then, probably because of this little, I don't know, independence thing that we did over here. Well, we can't call a sport soccer anymore because that's what the Yanks call it. So let's go back to calling it just football rather than association football, right? And thus, you have football in the UK and soccer in America. Look it up. Of course, you know, at the time, you still have the British Empire, and so they spread the football name every place they went, right? Shut that off. So, hence the reason why the whole world now calls it football, because they got the name from the British after they had changed it back from soccer. So there you are. So, nice try, England, but you can't blame soccer on us. It's your name. All right? And we're just being nice cousins, calling your sport the name you gave it when you brought it here. So, there. And that is where I think I will triumphantly end this show. So, back in the driveway. Time to go ahead and get ready for the rest of my vacation, which, of course, according to my cat, is now going to start with feeding my cat Elvis. So, my master calls. Until we speak again, be well, be safe. I'll catch you later.